This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you. Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the, hey Marge, did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Running a growing business means getting the insights you need wherever you are. With Shopify's single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States, and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy. This is iFanboy Special Edition Iron Fist.
Everybody was kung fu fighting. Those kids were fast as lightning. In fact, it was a little bit frightening. But they fought with expert timing. There were funky China men from funky Chinatown. They were chopping them up. They were chopping them down. It's an ancient...
Hello, welcome to a special edition of My Fanboy. I'm Connor Kilpatrick, and I'm here with Ron Richards.
It's the podcast you never thought you'd hear.
And we're finally talking about Iron Fist. It only took us 3 months to watch it.
It came out on March 17th, and it is the end of May, beginning of June when you get this. Listen, sometimes this stuff drops at the worst possible time. And
Not everyone has 13 hours to waste in the first 24 hours of release.
Right. And listen, I'm not complaining, but I had two weddings in April. I had pet emergencies. There was a lot going on in April that you guys don't even know about.
And you had 30 hours of Twin Peaks to watch.
Exactly. And honestly, the Twin Peaks did really affect it, which in retrospect, I wish I had more Twin Peaks to watch than this garbage. But still, anyway.
Right, so we're talking Iron Fist. Iron Fist is the final solo series put out by Netflix under the original deal. They've added Punisher since then. But this is the final one leading up to Defenders, which is actually quite soon now.
Yes.
It's in two months.
Which, by the way, I'm much more enthusiastic about Defenders than I was about this one. So I'm just saying.
Yeah, well, it's a team-up
show. We'll get into that.
So when Daredevil and Luke Cage and Jessica Jones and Iron Fist get together, that'll happen in 2 months, and we will talk to you about it hopefully sooner than it took to do this because it's only 8 episodes.
Which finally they listened to a goddamn podcast and listened to us and listened to our advice because I still firmly stand 13 episodes too much.
Yeah, I'm definitely sure it was our advice and not budgetary concerns for having all those actors in all those episodes.
Absolutely. Well, I wonder how much of the deal, you talked about the original deal.
Yeah.
I wonder how much of it was to do 13 episodes and maybe they realized halfway. I don't know. I'm putting far too much value on our feedback, but I still firmly stand that 13 episodes on Daredevil season 2, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, and now Iron Fist is too long.
It's a lot of episodes. So this is the story of Danny Rand and his return. And what was interesting about this was before watching it, the buzz was that this was the worst thing ever put on television.
Yeah.
And I think that's overblown.
I will agree with that. But it did affect my desire to watch it, though.
I think that's a product of a lot of the current internet critique culture, in which something is either the best thing or the worst thing. And
right.
I think what this just is just a really boring thing.
Yeah.
I've certainly seen worse TV shows. This is not the worst thing I've ever seen on TV. It just was really boring and kind of shockingly so. I didn't keep a running tally, but it felt like to me 50 or 60% of the show was dedicated to the corporate machinations of Rand Corporation, which I didn't care one. I was like, why are we still in boardrooms?
Which is funny. So I absolutely agree with you on the boring content. I think that the Rand stuff was overblown, and I also felt like maybe 40% of it was what's his name? Who played Danny Rand? Finn what's his name? Finn Jones. 40% of the show was him going, "I'm Danny Rand." Like I'm again, and I feel like this is the third. I feel like there's a nugget of a good show in there.
Yes.
And somewhere they lost their way. And I agree with you that the criticism was overblown. It wasn't awful. It was just very middling. And I think that there was also some key misfires, particularly maybe in the casting of Danny Rand, because I didn't find Finn Jones particularly. I don't think whether he's a bad actor or a good actor, but I didn't particularly connect with him. I understand I have an unnatural crush on Mike Coulter,
sure,
but I didn't connect with him as much as I connected with
Charlie Cox,
Luke Cage, or Jessica Jones, or even Charlie Cox, who I also love. Charlie Cox is amazing, but
I think
I got so choked up just thinking about it.
I liked him in certain situations.
Yeah,
I thought he could be charming and funny, but I didn't buy him as someone who was a badass martial artist, and neither did the show, because most of the martial arts took place in wide shots or in dark shadows.
Well, okay, so I wasn't alone. Like I know nothing about kung fu. I know nothing about martial arts. I'm not one of those people. I'm not a big Bruce Lee fan. I didn't watch it, but all of them, like, I was like, all right, I'm going to see some badass fighting in this. And it was either really tight close-up shots or really far away. And every time I got a good look at the action, it felt wrong.
Yeah.
Or just not good, right? Like, it was, I don't know why. Something was missing.
Yeah, it was weird. I mean, I think if you had taken these 13 episodes, you could have gotten a really interesting 5 hours out of it.
Yeah.
If you took all of this footage.
Let's break down what the show was. The show was the return of Danny Rand, and just like the, you know, coming back from Kunlun and all that, which went on for an eternity. Then it was Danny Rand discovers the hand has infiltrated Rand Corporation, and he tries to stop it, which went on for an eternity. And then the show is so long that there was no antagonist. You know, at least in Luke Cage, we had Cottonmouth, and then we had Barracuda, whatever his name was. You know, the snake. What was his name?
I don't even remember.
I don't know. You know what I mean?
That was the worst part of Luke Cage.
Yeah, exactly. And then and Jessica Jones set the bar super high with Jessica David Tennant, yeah, right? And even Daredevil meandered, but Kingpin was great in season one. I was going to say season two meandered a little bit in terms of who the villain was, but you had Elektra and you had the hand and all this stuff. This was, we think that the villain is an old Chinese lady, but oh no, in fact, they kept on introducing threats. And, and I think my biggest complaint about this is nothing stuck. You know, everything felt very slippery. You know?
The other shows had mini arcs within the 13 episodes, but they always had some sort of overarching story happening. This one, I don't know what the overarching story was, other than Danny coming back into civilization.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I ever really understood before how really close Danny Rand is to Oliver Queen.
Yes, you're right, yeah. At least in this iteration, too. Yeah.
And well, it's interesting. You know, the one thing that was interesting at first was he's back. Like, it wasn't like they started with the plane crash and we watched him grow up. He was like, he's back, and he's already basically Iron Fist, although he wasn't.
Yeah.
And then we learned in flashbacks how he got to be, which was very similar to the Arrow format. So the fact that he's blonde and he wears green, or supposed to wear green, was only reinforcing the idea that this was, oh, right, this is like really close to Green Arrow, and I never realized that before.
Yeah. What's funny about this is that, like, so I think that I've complained about these shows for leaning on flashbacks too much.
Right.
And I actually think this I don't think they listen to us, but it's like someone listened to us and tried to take our advice but went too far. You know, like, so like we didn't have enough flashbacks. The only flashbacks we had were of the plane crash. I would have liked to see them in Kunlun.
That was the more interesting stuff, I thought.
Exactly. Like give me an episode of training. Give me an episode of that, right? That sort of thing, right?
We got a little bit with Davos when he showed up. That was
a little bit, but not enough. Like, I got excited when Davos showed up, but that turn happened way too quickly and all that sort of stuff. But then, you know, then it really got tight. I mean, I almost feel like this could be called, a night with the Meachums.
It just,
right?
It just, I don't understand. Like,
yeah.
There's a lot of time with contract negotiations and exit clauses and golden parachutes.
Crisis management, board golden meetings. Parachutes. Yeah,
and
exactly.
It was like, I was just like, again, we're in the boardroom. Like, Joy Meacham, who's Jessica Straub, she was in 90210, the reboot.
which I realized that like episode 3 or 4, I was like, Silver!
David Wenham, who was in Lord of the Rings, who still has that voice, yep. Who was the father, who was supposed to be dead but wasn't dead. And then Ward Meacham, the bad son, who maybe wasn't bad but then was bad. And just, I didn't end up caring about any of them.
I want to talk about Ward Meacham because what happens is that there's so much here. So Joy Meacham and Ward Meacham are the children of Harold Meacham, who is best friends with Danny Rand's father, and they ran Rand Corporation together, right? Yep. And they grew up with Danny, and we got a little flashback in the beginning of young Ward being mean to Danny, right? And they settle this up. And I started the first 4 or 5 episodes, and Tom Pelfrey is Ward Meacham. I hated this guy. Yeah. I hated him. And then somewhere along the way, I found myself, and I don't know if this speaks to how not good the show is or what, but by like episode 8 or 9, I found myself going, oh, go back to Ward. I want to see more Ward. like just the stumbling idiot through New York City of Ward Meacham became much more entertained by this guy. And by the end of it, I was like, oh, Ward's awesome. Like, it actually redeemed him for me. But like at one point he's doing heroin. Like the callousness and just like the boardroom and the looks that this guy gave. I looked him up and he was nominated for multiple Emmys by being on soap operas. Which makes sense, yeah. Right? Yeah, like he was on, I think, One Life to Live and stuff like that, right? Like, and so he was, you know, Guiding Light is where he was nominated for. Actually, I think he won for Outstanding Young Actor. He did twice, which is weird. And then he was nominated 3 more times.
He was Mick Dante on As the World Turns.
He was Jonathan Randall on Guiding Light. He was also Josh Mundy on The Good Wife.
I know. I don't know that. I don't remember that.
Because it's when you work in New York, it was, you know, it's Law and Order.
Missed a lot of, oh, no. Special Victims Unit.
2 episodes, Special Victims Unit. But anyway.
And Blue Bloods. He's got the New York.
Yeah, the exacta. But yeah, no, I found myself actually starting off hating him, and by the end of it, actually really liking him. But ultimately, it just, you know, and I, don't get me wrong, I'm a big Rosario Dawson fan. Yeah. It's starting to get hard to believe.
This was the most shoehorned in. Like, let's take her on a mission to China. Why would you take her on a mission to China? She's not at all beneficial to your mission. I really liked Colleen Wing a lot, Jessica Henwick.
Yeah.
She's a character from the comics. She's a love interest for Danny Rand, and she's a martial arts expert, and she was badass of her own right. I thought the actress was interesting. They didn't have a ton of chemistry, Danny Rand and Colleen Wing, although they're supposed to, but I liked her a lot.
Yeah.
Like I said, if you cut it down, you might have been able to find a story. The most compelling story for me is probably when Davos shows up, his old buddy from Kunlun, who Danny beat out for the Iron Fist mantle. And when he comes back, it's fun when they're together, and then you slowly see why they're going to break apart, then they break apart, and then they're enemies. That was the most interesting arc, and it only lasted about 2 or 3 episodes of the 13. Right,
and like, honestly, like, I was trying to think about how do you redeem this? And so, like, and then, so spoiler warning. We didn't do a spoiler warning at the top. I'm sorry. We should have done that. But who hasn't? I mean, if you haven't watched it by now, really, only the masochists are listening at this point. But the big twist that took us through the last batch of episodes was that, you know, so Danny meets Colleen, and they have a friendship through martial arts. And then, of course, they hook up or whatever. And then it finds out that we find out that Colleen is part of the Hand. And that was the big twist. And then we get introduced to Bakudo, who is her sensei, who is another villain. You know, like, so while the old Chinese lady from Daredevil was the villain, very quickly she gets shoved aside. And now this guy comes in, and we got to deal with the betrayal of Colleen and all stuff like that. I thought that was handled very well, and that was interesting. But I would have liked this a lot better to have been like 2 episodes about his return. Oh, my God, who is he? He's got to prove who he is. He's back. Finding out the Hand is involved, whatever, dealing with the Hand, and then the last arc being Davos trying to get him to go back to Kunlun.
Unfortunately, you get 9 episodes of corporate boardrooms.
Yeah, exactly. And listen, that plant in Staten Island is a menace. I feel like there were I could see where it could have gone and been better, but there's just a lot of angsty Danny Rand, and I didn't like Danny Rand. I just didn't like him.
Danny Rand, especially lately, has been more of the happy-go-lucky fun guy, and that's been really a nice counterpoint to people like Luke Cage or Daredevil.
Yeah,
and when they're all just sort of angsty, mopey guys, that's weird. Mopey guys.
Well.
That's just boring. So you need a counterpoint, and he was a nice counterpoint. Here, he's basically the same sort of character arc, and it was more fun when he was silly, when he was sort of running the company into the ground. that was kind of enjoyable sequence because he's like, well, I'm gonna run it like a nice guy, and it just runs the company to the ground.
Yeah, and the thing is, I mean, we have a long history of enjoying management, middle management, Connor, if you remember correctly. And so like that done well could be good, but it was done in such a surface melodramatic, you know, in that one conference room. Like, either commit to fish out of water running a company.
Yeah.
Or don't. And don't give me one or two episodes where he's in there and then he gets distracted chasing the heroin ring with the hand and ends up in China and misses the meeting. You know, it's like, oh, sorry, I wanted to be there. Like, it was just, you know, like, and for me, the only thing that redeemed all that stuff was the misadventures of Ward Meacham. I mean, honestly, in the first five episodes, that was going to be like, oh, I can't wait to eviscerate this guy. This guy's awful. By the end of it, I was like, I'm glad he's alive. I want to see him in the next one. I like him.
You have to give Iron Fist credit for having the most villains per capita in this. I mean,
he
has probably six or seven at some point, people he's facing off against.
Including the DEA, right?
Right.
That was the other thing. So like episode 12 finishes, and I was like, there's one more? And then we get like this, we get a cliffhanger at the end of episode 12, and episode 13 felt completely bolted on.
Yeah, I just think structurally this was a mess, and that's why it felt so weird and uneven. It didn't feel cohesive. I had nothing pushing me forward to the next one, and then it would change on a dime to what the focus was. And I just felt bad for everybody involved because these have been so acclaimed, and then this is just sort of like a big mess from a creative standpoint.
Right.
Like we said earlier, I'm looking forward to Defenders. I'm looking forward to seeing how he interacts with these other characters because he is a little bit weirder.
Yeah.
And that will be a fun thing. And then maybe he's better off in that group setting. Although, traditionally, I really like Danny Rand. I really like Iron Fist. He's one of my favorite, when I was a kid, C-level characters.
Well, that's the thing. Is like I have nothing but positive thoughts about Iron Fist as a character from both the, you know, from the Brubaker Fraction David Aja run, which was great, with, you know, kind of the precursor to Hawkeye, as well as, you know, more recently Power Man and Iron Fist in the comics. Like, Iron Fist, Danny Rand has been done in a good way where you're right, he's very, very similar to Oliver Queen, but the modern evolution of the character in the comics has moved away from that, and he's a kung fu guy, and it's great. This, it was very similar to Oliver Queen, which is a great observation, but then it didn't build, for whatever reason, it didn't build any of that character warmth I have for Danny Rand. It was just kind of absent. And the other thing is that, like, I know we kind of groaned when we saw the flashback of Luke Cage and he's in the yellow shirt with the chain or whatever.
No, I didn't groan. I thought it was awesome.
No, I know. Yeah. But I know, you know, but like this had no comics fan service other than the tattoo on the chest.
Yeah.
And like, give me a pair of green pants. Give me a yellow mask for some reason.
He's wearing like a green hoodie.
Yeah.
I was really disappointed that he didn't end up in any kind of costume at the end. I mean, Daredevil had two.
Yeah.
Luke Cage doesn't really wear one. Jessica Jones doesn't really wear one. This is the other guy. And that was always the fun thing, too, between him and Luke Cage, was that one guy's wearing a full on costume. The other guy's just wearing jeans.
Right.
And they never even hinted at it. He didn't put on a little head mask. And granted, Daredevil's first costume is basically Iron Fist's costume, but black.
Yep. But with the mask. But with the, he did do the mask.
Right. But it's the same mask, same kind of thing. It's just, I was really super bummed that that didn't happen. And it's tough. Also, like, even though it wasn't an origin, it was because he wasn't really Iron Fist till the end. He had no control over his Iron Fist. And so that's kind of lame. It's tough because I'm thinking about it now. And you're talking about the cliffhanger at the end of 13 where Kunlun's been invaded because he wasn't there to defend it because that's the role of Iron Fist. That was actually, I was like, oh, that's interesting. It's too bad didn't get any more of that.
Right, yeah.
It's kind of sad. This is one when they first announced it I was the most curious about because I, you know, I've never seen an Iron Fist on TV before.
Right, yeah.
Luke Cage is basically, he's strong, but at the end of the day, he's just a guy in Harlem solving crimes. That's a lot of TV shows, you know, same thing with Jessica Jones. Daredevil, I've actually seen on TV. Sure, he was dressed in all in black and fighting next to Lou Ferrigno, but I've at least seen it. I've never seen Iron Fist, so I was actually really excited for it, and it was just a bummer that this is what happened.
Yeah. The thing is, I do think that the critic shitting on before it came out, I think, hurt it a lot. I think that, and I didn't dive too heavy into those, the critic and the reviews and things like that, because I didn't want to totally. But it definitely cast a shadow over my watching of it. I never, as evidenced by how long it took, I never got any momentum in watching it.
I remember when Daredevil came out. I blitzed through it. I blitzed through Jessica Jones. I blitzed through Daredevil season 2.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I guess I'll watch another one.
Right.
Like, I wasn't like, oh, man, what's going to happen next? I got to watch it. And I just never, again, but I don't think it was terrible. I just think it was boring. I give it a very much like a C minus rating more than anything.
Right. Yeah. Are we in the ratings?
Well, I'm just saying, like, I wouldn't give it an F.
Right.
It's not unwatchable.
Right.
There are things that I liked about it. It wasn't the most enjoyable 13 hours I've ever spent in my life, but it
wasn't the worst.
Either.
Yeah, I mean, it was fine. I mean, like, I was able to find things I enjoyed from it, you know, which were like Ward Meacham, and I did enjoy some of the stuff with Harold Meacham and just the ridiculousness of it.
Right.
You know, but I thought that the martial arts was lacking, and like obviously lacking, like clearly doing camera tricks to avoid.
Yeah, it was weird considering how much they focus on that in Daredevil. You know, it was really well choreographed in Daredevil. This is the guy who is the Kung Fu master.
Right.
Why isn't that more of your focus?
Exactly. And they make such a big deal of the Iron Fist and all stuff that when they used it, there was really only one use of it that was awesome. Was in the last episode with the building when he did, you know, that was the only great. Everything else was like he punched a door and you could see where the door was cut to explode, right? Like it was a clean, you know, like it just.
Right? But also, like, they made such a big deal. This is the Iron Fist. This is the guy who in all of Kunlun was chosen to be, you know, the defender of the town. And he got beat up a lot.
Right.
He had a lot of trouble beating guys up. And it can't all be about the Iron Fist power, right? He's got to also be like the best guy fighting in the streets.
Right.
And he didn't even seem like that. And that was just kind of a bummer, too. I'm just bummed he didn't end up in a costume. I'm bummed he had a beard. I'm bummed he didn't seem like he was really that much of a badass fighter.
Right.
I liked Colleen Wing. I liked Carrie Ann Moss again.
Yeah.
I liked Davos. I liked that little arc, that mini arc.
But it didn't feel enough, you know?
No.
Like, I don't know. Yeah.
It wasn't enough.
I thought Bakudo was good. I thought, you know, I thought that there was that was interesting enough, the idea of a hand, you know, kind of recruiting locally and being like trying to, you know, do good, and like that's the moral kind of conundrum with that, you know, where, you know, Madame Gao, the old Chinese heroine hand versus a good hand. I thought that was interesting, but like it just felt, I mean, it just, I, the thing is, we never had a villain. We never had somebody that we were like a kingpin, and they need that, I think.
If you just had taken 50% less time with the corporation, given all that time to the hand stuff, it might have been a better show.
Yeah.
I don't need it. I don't need a scene where Joy runs up the ward and talks about their golden parachute and how they're getting fired from the company.
The negotiations and everything,
Don't care. Don't care.
Oh, God. All right. So ratings. You gave it a C-?
Well, how are we rating these? Stars or
what? Stars. Let's do our usual
numbers.
Stars.
Numbers.
Numbers. Yeah. You know, like
From
like
what?
It's not the first time we've done this. we reinvented. Listen, if one is Electro and 10 is The Godfather, where does this lay? We do 1 to 5, right? Let's do our comp. Let's do our
one
ratings.
To 5 to 2.5. 2.5.
2.5. Yeah, I would give it a 2.5 as well. Sticking with it, I'm gonna watch the Defenders. So yes,
yeah, and I'd be very curious to see if they give Iron Fist a second season. It'll be interesting. They haven't announced one.
I don't think so. I mean, again, it goes back to the I finished an episode, I didn't feel the need to watch the next one immediately.
Right.
You know,
I'm with you,
and that's why it took so long. Well, we apologize for the length it took. We're gonna be on top of the Defenders. Don't worry.
I'm super psyched for the Defenders. Yeah.
Knowing my luck, that's gonna come right when I'm like on vacation or something.
It's the middle of August, August 18th for the Defenders.
Okay, I'll be back then. That's fine. That's perfect. Hey, listen, I'll be all over the Defenders for two words, my friend. Mike Coulter.
Should I describe to you what it was like to be on a plane with him?
Can I describe to you what it was like to talk to him about The Good Wife on the red carpet at the Civil War premiere? I know you can't. You have a more recent exchange with him, but I got the best one so far. Can I just tell you, he was so nice. So nice.
Yeah, I told you. He helped some old lady put her bag in the overhead.
That's so... He's just wonderful. He's the best. Mike Coulter, if you're listening, you're the best.
All right. Well, until the Defenders, August 18th, you can go to ifanboy.com. You can comment on Iron Fist. There'll be a post there. You can tell us what you thought of the show. And you can look forward to that. Our next special edition podcast will be Wonder Woman.
Ooh.
And then we'll be back, you know, as every week we are with our Pick of the Week podcast. We talk about the week's comics. And until Defenders, I'm Connor.
I'm Ron.
No beard next time.
The beard is bad.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means. And I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert extrovert thing. And some people, you know, like they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away. And, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened, but it can be tough to deal with. And also like, one of the things is like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ifanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's betterhelp.com/ifanboy.